Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of Bajaj Electricals, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thanks, Ryan. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q3 FY23 results conference call of Bajaj Electricals. We have with us senior management represented by Mr. Anuj Poddar, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. EC Prasad, CFO. Now, I hand over the call to the management for initial comments on the quarterly performance, and then we will open the floor for question and answer session. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening. This is Anuj Poddar. Thank you everyone for joining this call. I'll just make a few brief opening comments, and then, you know, you can ask us your questions. I'll just start by saying we're extremely pleased with our performance in Q3, and this is despite the, what I'm sure you're aware of, a tough environment in terms of muted demand for consumer goods as we've seen around us. A few highlights for us. We are back to having crossed 1,000 crores of revenue in our consumer products business. Our lighting business, while on a revenue basis has been flat, our profits on lighting business have increased substantially, and that's the guidance that we've been giving, that we will be driving profitable growth for the lighting business with a margin expansion. Our EPC business, which has broken even about three quarters ago, continues to be at a break-even stroke positive level. But also more positive for us is that in terms of revenue and order book, that is expanding or growing in the direction that we want it to go. We see now it's achieving a certain amount of traction and revenue size that we think will make that business viable and profitable into the future, while yet maintaining our approach of being selective in the nature and quality of orders that we take, such that that also remains profitable at a project level. We've timed that such that, you know, we are on the cusp of demerger in a quarter or so, and so as that demerger happens, this business will also be a healthy business going forward. Lastly, on the cash flow front, like we've always maintained, that remains an area of focus for us. Q3 also has been very strong in the cash flow basis for us. Our cash from operations just within Q3 has been at about 197 crores. So that's my opening comments on an overall performance. I do want to call out and explain, which we explained in the deck also, you will see a line of other expenses that has risen substantially. I will explain that briefly, what that is. Firstly, there is what we have under our RREP scheme. We had formulated something called the Retailer Bonding Program, which is a form of loyalty points that retailers accumulate. For us, this is form and manner of schemes and discounts that we've been running under the guise of the RBP loyalty program as a structured approach to doing that. We continue to review and will continue to review the scheme and manner of this RBP program now and going forward as part of our overall review of our schemes and discounts that we are putting into the marketplace. The Q3 impact of that is we've been driving a substantial redemption program to encourage our retailers to opt for redemption rather than continue to accumulate points. Couple of reasons for that. One reason has been that the entire provision for RBP, you know, because we had maintained a conservative provisioning policy, had been accumulating in our balance sheet. And a few quarters ago, that had risen to a very high level in the balance sheet. It was not something healthy for us to continue to carry, and therefore, we wanted to start encouraging the redemption of these points. But second, it's a more operational, tactical decision from a business standpoint. You know, we are starting to offer various forms of schemes, you know, that are more targeted at certain product categories, et cetera. And as part of a composite review of that, the RBP, we've been driving redemptions of that. The impact of this RBP redemption and change in policy has been that there's been a slightly upward of 50 crore upside in the revenues because of this, and a slightly upwards of 50 crores impact on other expenses because of this. There's a net impact of about 12 crores on that. At the same time, there are two or three other elements in this quarter. Our schemes and discounts in this quarter have been heightened, particularly on fans, as part of the destocking of non-star rated fans. So that is also baked into, that's obviously a negative impact in terms of margins, but that's baked into our Q3 financials and EBIT that you see. Our investments in brand have gone up significantly in Q3. There's a further about, on a quarter-on-quarter, about 2% incremental spends in advertising, and on a Y-on-Y, slightly above 1% increase in advertising. On an absolute basis, about 14 crore incremental spends on advertising in Q3 Y-on-Y basis. And lastly, we are, you know, in the process of moving back our logistics from Mahindra Logistics to in-house logistics. As part of that transition, we've had a transition cost of that in this quarter, which had again been a range of about 1% of our consumer business revenues. So I'm just highlighting these. These are reasons for the expenses line to look slightly higher, and also relates to a certain note that you see in this financial. The consolidated net impact of all of this is already baked into the financial. I've explained all of that, but happy to take further questions on any of these comments. Back to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Chirag Lodhia from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So I had a couple of questions. First, if you can, you know, help us understand demand trends in across categories like appliances, fans, lighting. Are you seeing any improvement in the overall underlying trends?
So, you know, demand, as you've been seeing all forms of commentary around us and from us also, demand has been muted, particularly post-Diwali. Since November, it has been muted. Appliances in particular has seen a more muted demand. And Bajaj, typically, if you go back last year or Q3 also, more than 70% of our revenues, particularly in this quarter, comes from appliances, and which has been a category or segment that has been seeing muted demand. Within that also, if I dive into that, room heaters and water heaters, you had a late onset of winter this year, post 15th, 20th December. So there has been an impact on the heating category this year. Coming back to a very current trend, I think post the onset of winter, I would say tertiary sales started then, and therefore some amount of primary selling has happened in Q4, but that's been a limited sale that has happened of heating. But the positive news on that is that because of that winter setting, at least tertiary secondary sale has happened, and therefore there's been a certain amount of destocking of that inventory at the retailer scope distributor end, and therefore at least for next season, we are fine. On an overall demand trend basis, a little early to say, so I don't want to say that too emphatically, but I think last 3 to 4 weeks, we're starting to see some improvement in demand also on the rural side. And I'm also alluding to some commentary or data points that we're seeing from an FMCG sector, because as that happens, we think that will also transpire back to us. So it's very early days. In summary, I think there's a muted demand environment through most of Q3. Last few weeks, we're starting to see some green shoots on that, but we'll wait a little while to have a more emphatic view on that.
Right, and on lighting front, you know, distribution, rejig, etc., are we done with that, and can we expect, you know, strong momentum next quarter onwards, or how to think there?
So lighting for us in Q3, professional lighting has grown, consumer lighting has degrown. Consumer lighting degrowth is a combination of overall, you know, demand trend and also our internal rejig that we're doing. I think another quarter away from the rejig of our, you know, go-to-market being in place, we're much better off than we were 3 months ago, but there's certain team expansion and distributor-dealer expansion for a consumer lighting that is yet WIP. So most of that should be getting over or done by March. You will see incremental momentum on that, but it will be by Q1 that you'll see a full momentum on that. At the same time, while that's on a GTM front, at a product level, like we've showcased a few products in our investor deck, we are continuing to expand our consumer lighting portfolio and product offerings and make it more, both wider and go up in terms of value-added offerings. so that as and when our GTM is also fully in place, next year you'll see the benefits of our GTM region as well as our expanded consumer lighting portfolio.
Right. And sir, just lastly on profitability side, so you had, you know, highlighted couple of points why, you know, margins were subdued in this quarter. So adjusting all this, you know, what could be the margins in this quarter? And secondly, slightly, you know, longer picture, you know, in FY22, we did around 9.8% kind of EBIT margins. Last few quarters, you know, because of inflation, weak demand, we are at 7.5% kind of EBIT margins. So, you know, where or, you know, by when can we touch, you know, at least double digit EBIT margins in FMEG business?
So I won't put a specific projection on that, but just to answer your point, as of this quarter, like we said, the RBP part that you see, there's a net positive impact of 12 crores. The incremental brand spends have been over 14 crores. The incremental impact, the cost of the logistics transition has been about 1% of our top line. So add another 1% there. And then finally, you know, while the RBP part, which loyalty is called out, actually is compensating other schemes and discounts that we've given, which have also been fairly high this quarter as part of the fans destocking. So net, you know, I don't want to put out a specific figure, but I would say the margins, having netted out all of these things, would actually be at least 1.5% better.
Got it. And is this a sustainable number now going ahead?
A couple of things that you will see, you will continue, you know, we will continue to, as business operational side, continue to relook at our loyalty program and alternative schemes and measures that we have for this, you know, particular push that we want to do. There's no firm answer to that, but as next few quarters or as on a perpetual basis, we will keep looking at that. The impact of that, sometimes we'll net it off, sometimes we'll be called out in different line items. But to my mind, those are purely operational costs. The one part that will be on a one-time basis that will continue in Q4 is a logistics transition. That some impact will continue in Q4 and then should normalize by Q1. The brand spends is again a more tactical call, but I don't expect a significant deviation in Q4 on brand spends.
Got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Akhilesh Bhandari from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thank you for taking my question. So firstly, can you speak about the volume growth which the company has seen across the various categories? We have seen a very sharp revenue growth in fans and a muted and a slight degrowth in appliances and also lighting. You mentioned that B2C has degrown, but can you also speak on what has been the volume growth during this quarter? And also for us, what is, you typically of course have a replenishment model, but what is the, at the industry level, how do you see the inventory level for the fan segment?
So, you know, volume on overall has been flat. I would say appliances have been slightly low. Fans, of course, has been a growth. Blended level is flat because appliances is higher in terms of contribution for us. Within that, you know, it varies by very sub-segment. But like I called out, heating category has been a degrowth. You know, kitchen category has been flattish. Coolers actually has an upside for us here in terms of advanced sales that happens on coolers. Coming back to in terms of fans and inventories, etc., we have completely destocked all the non-star rated fans that we've had, and that's in terms of compliance with regulation. I would say there is a fair amount of stock now, not just us, but of all brands in the market of these non-star rated fans with the channels in the market. I think that will take anything between 3 to 6 months to normalize. At the same time, we think in another, towards the end of Q4, you should start seeing traction on volumes. Volume growth for the star rated fans, even from primary sales point of view.
Understood. And so a bit more on the logistics transition. So if you can give us more details on what is the thought process or rationale for going back on the transition? And initially, of course, you had some benefits which you thought you'd get from moving to Mahindra Logistics. And what has changed from that perspective? If you can just give a bit more detail, that will be helpful.
Sure, Akhilesh. You know, to be candid, 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago when we embarked on this pre-pale outsourcing, we were looking at both financial and strategic benefits from that. We knew we were slightly ahead of the curve on planning for that. To put a long story short, I don't think we've achieved either the financial or strategic benefits from that decision. And we've tried to make it work over a couple of years, but at some point we took a decision that if it's, that's not serving our purpose, then you're better off pulling it back in-house. So that's the reason to pull it back in-house. Since then, you know, while there's a certain transition cost of that, our actual service levels to our customers, distributors, channel partners has gone up, which is our primary focus of doing that. You know, that's most important for us. We believe we're managing that well in-house. And then we'll continue, you know, while there's a transition cost of doing that. Well, our first endeavor is to get the service levels right, which we are doing. Over the next 3 to 4 months, we'll get the cost optimization also done. And therefore, you know, we've taken this decision.
Understood. And so the distribution region in lighting, you mentioned it will take maybe another quarter or so. But in terms of the key geographies, so what proportion of your, you know, key geographies would you have covered by the end of the fourth quarter?
Oh, you just repeat, your voice is slightly cracking.
Yeah, so you mentioned that your distribution region in lighting will take another quarter or so. But by the end of March, what proportion of your key geographies in terms of, you know, would you have already covered by, under the distribution region?
Understood. So I think, I mean, to take a numerical range, yes, would be 65 to 70% there, both in terms of our team, you know, putting that feet on street in place and the distributor reaching that is happening over there, and therefore the reach out to the lighting counters.
Okay. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Renu Baid from IISL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is to understand a bit more on the fan segment. Now with the new BEE norms, what has been the average impact on the pricing of the new BEE star rated fans for us? Across the key ranges, average price increase. And second, you did also highlight that there is sufficient channel inventory now built with the old non-star rated fans, which will take about 6 months to clear up. So does that imply that usually that upstocking or the non-season stocking that we see would be fairly soft in the fourth quarter? And depending on how the season pans out, we'll see the fans revenue uptake happening subsequently the next fiscal.
So, Renu, good evening. You know, firstly, in terms of the cost side of price impact, I think the impact of this is cost to us is between 10 to 12%. We'd have liked to have passed it all on, but, you know, we passed on between 7 to 9% of that. And part of that is also competitive reason because we do not believe competition has also passed it on as much as we'd have liked anybody to pass it on. We believe, therefore, there will have to be a second round of price hikes. Timing will be dictated by both market conditions as well as competitive, you know, decision making. In terms of the stocking and volumes and therefore impact on star rated, you know, we'll wait and see how that plays out. But my guess is, you know, while I said it takes 6 months or so to clear out, it is that is for completion of that clear out, but incrementally every month that will keep clearing out. At the same time, I do see an uptick that will happen for star rated fans. We will, as we approach summer in the season for fans, of course, engage in consumer awareness and campaigns for star-rated fans. So I do think there will be a large segment of the market that will start purchasing that. So I would yet remain optimistic on star-rated fans also selling as we approach the season.
Got it. And since you also mentioned that the entire cost is not fully passed on to the consumers yet, as in the volume uptake is yet to happen there, but you think the tail impact of this could be seen in the margins because commodity prices have also started to slowly inch up now. So how should we read in terms of the margin outlook going ahead for the end of this year and next year? And in your view, the double-digit margins, EBIT margins that you were expecting for the consumer business, has that been pushed back by another 6-9 months to second half of 24, or it should be possible for the entire fiscal there?
So, you know, I think I'll answer the second part first. You know, as we get to that and we start getting to 24, we'll have a little better visibility of that. So I don't want to move or change, you know, guidance on that right now. More specifically on the fans part, I think, you know, my personal view remains that if I'm a leader, I would not shy away from taking a full price hike. That is the job of a leader. Number two, I think if the decision to not take a price hike is assuming demand elasticity playing out, that is not playing out. I think both of these, to my mind, as a rational mind, would only, you know, force players, including our competition, to take a price hike sooner rather than later and make sure our margins are protected. I would assume that that decision would be made by, you know, multiple players, and we will not be found wanting from, you know, taking that decision.
Sure. Generally, what is your sense, as in now it's been almost the entire year, we have broadly struggled on relatively soft consumer offtake and tertiary offtake, which has been soft. So while there have been some green shoots, some commentary from consumer companies, FMCG also, but especially for us, the economy segment is a reasonable large part of the pie. East as a region is a large segment of the market. So how are we seeing on-ground demand offtake from these segments? And some color on the strategy to increase the premium portfolio within Bajaj umbrella. How is that doing?
So, you know, we are working on all of these aspects, firstly on the rural or the, you know, lower demand, etc. When I was asked back in November, December, I was less optimistic about that. I thought we were at least 6 months away from that. When I speak today, I think that 6 months timeline to my mind has come down to 3 to 4 months. So I would think, you know, you're starting to see the green shoots, like I said earlier, but I'm just waiting to, you know, see that continue. And if that continues, then I think, you know, you will see that by March, April itself, that the demand over there starting to kick in. I do think, you know, again, I've not read the fine print of the budget, but some of the changes on the income tax, personal income tax, etc., I think are positive for consumption sentiment, etc. So that, you know, takes care of the middle class, urban middle class, etc. So if you add both of these factors, I would yet today be slightly more optimistic than I was 2-3 months ago. Having said that, you know, the external environment and economy is not something that we can necessarily control. Our job is to navigate through all of these things, like we've done the last few quarters. Therefore, coming back to the other part of the question, we continue to broad-base our portfolio and offering. Some of those examples are in the investor deck. If you look at those products, that clearly cue a greater premiumization journey that we are on in terms of, you know, product features, technology, quality, design, etc. So our journey on that will continue, and I think that will de-risk us for me, or not just de-risk us, but also help expand the margins. And therefore, I yet, you know, hold to our directional view on FY24 and going beyond. A margin expansion should continue irrespective of economic and, you know, demand cycle.
Sure. And approximately what, how large is the premium portfolio in our consumer mix today, approximate percentage?
So that varies by category. Like I say, for fans, you know, we used to be 6% contribution. There's up to about 19% contribution in fans in terms of revenue. If you look at in terms of, let's say, mixers, you know, we use 750 mix, watt and above mixer. That is up to about 35% of our contribution today. If you look at, I would say, LED, I don't know, LED is talking premium or not, because the range, you know, moving from non-LED to LED and now from LED to actually lamps to, you know, value-added products, you keep seeing that journey. I don't remember that number offhand in terms of contribution. Coolers, we continue to upgrade, you know, doing that. Again, I don't remember the number there. But across direction in each of these categories, there is clear move or higher contribution from the premium segment.
Sure. Thank you. That's helpful, and all the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Iris.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. You know, my question was with respect to fourth quarter. You mentioned that you know, there has been a significant channel filling, so to say, with respect to non-rated fans. Can you help us understand, you know, what is the extent of impact on the margins this had in terms of, even it was, it would have gone with a, you know, a discount or a price reduction?
So, Archer, I couldn't hear you fully, but I think you're talking about channel selling and the push in for schemes, etc., right, in Q3?
Let me just explain once again. So third quarter, you've mentioned that the fans growth is 65%. So So and you said partly it is to do the restocking of the non-rated fans from our end. So I'm just curious to know what is the impact it had on the margins for the third quarter with respect to these schemes, discounts, etc. To clear out this non-rated fan.
So Achal, I would look at it, there's 2-3 levers of margin impact on this. Okay, first is actual discounting and schemes that we've done. And again, that's not been even through the quarter. So it was higher in October and November. And then we, you know, restructured that in December also. But, you know, while we restructured that, this is all cross categories, including kitchen, etc. In December, we focused a little more on the non-star rated fan. Therefore, there's an impact of that. So there's, you know, I don't know the blended number to that could be, but we had differential schemes and stuff often through that quarter. If I was to just hazard a guess, I mean, between 0.5 to 1 percentage point because of that, okay, number one. Number two actually is also the portfolio mix between appliances and fans. Like I said, historically, Q3 is strong on margins led by heating appliances. This quarter, heating appliances was muted, and therefore we did not get a benefit, upside benefit of those margins. On the other hand, a fan's contribution has been higher, which typically are lower margin. And also, a lot of our push, because in December has happened on fans, that is further subdued in terms of margins on fans. So the margin that you see is a blended impact of all of these three things, the discounting, the portfolio mix moving from appliances to fans, and within fans also, a certain push that has happened in December.
Right. If we were to, you know, see from an annual perspective, FY24, FY25, how do we look at the gross margins? Assuming the, you know, the raw material prices remain stable, and whatever desired price hike, what you to offset the to meet the compliance, you are able to take. How do we look at the gross margins for our CP business? You know, would we see that it's improving 3 to 4 percentage points given the kind of cost inflation hit we had in FY23? Or you think it could be lesser than that, and hence double digit could be a little difficult?
So Achal, again, I don't want to put a specific figure projection, but I think 3 to 4% expansion would be, you know, very aggressive as a, you know, target. I do think margin, gross margin should expand. The two levers on that. One is the quantity cost, which has cooled off significantly between April to November. The December, Jan, like one of the earlier questioners mentioned, you are starting to see some increase in, you know, commodity cost. My view today, so far, it is not alarming. I don't expect that to become significant. I think we can take that in our stride. I think the other big lever will be pricing in the market. And that pricing, I think, to some extent will be driven by the consumer demand. My view remains that demand should start looking up from March, April, like I said. And that will bring back pricing power, not just for us, but for everybody. And therefore limit this discounting game that is on. So that to me, between both of these aspects, I do see gross margin expand. That said, with a 3 to 4% in a single year may be very aggressive, is my view. And sorry, one more third lever for us is on the premiumization. You will keep seeing us do a little more of that. And as that happens, for us, the gross margin should also expand because of our change of portfolio mix towards premiumization.
Understood. And at the operating level, you know, you mentioned that there has been a 100 bps impact of the logistics, cost transition.
Right.
Would that continue incrementally in FY24 as we go ahead, or you think that is by and large done now?
No, so again, I'll explain that logistics transition is happening over a phased manner. Between 1st of October and 15th of January, we've taken over all the transportation, which is both pre-primary, primary, and secondary transportation. And some of this logistics impact that has happened right now in Q3 is because of this transport led, you know, logistics transition costs that have happened, including some double spends, etc. there, as we start to put the routes in place and take that over. Right now, we are in the process of taking over all the warehouses. I think that will take anywhere between 4 to 6 months, more like 6 months before all of them transition to us. You will see some impact of that transition in Q4. I see very limited impact of that happening in Q1 next year of this transition.
Understood. And just one last question, if I may, with respect to, you know, the discounting part of it, Could you elaborate a little bit with respect to the other appliances? Are we seeing the other brands actually kind of resorting to aggressive discounts, etc., or it is more driven by the regional or the tier two players?
So my view on the discounting, etc., like I said, we also in October, November had some of that, but in December, as far as appliances, which is non-science is concerned, I think we're fine with that. We don't have a discounting or price challenge on appliances in general. And also as being a leader, etc., I think we're able to manage the market views on pricing and discounting on appliances much better. So we are comfortable with that. Our challenge or concern has been on fans, and also because of this transition from non-star rated to star rated, which also has an impact on costs. I think there the discounting, both to get rid of stock as well as not to take a price hike in commensurate to the cost increase, I think that's been a bigger challenge for us. And that is not something we can, you know, drive as a non-leader player. So we would want to see some more rationality and sanity on that. And as like I said earlier, we are more than happy to keep pushing on that to protect margins on that. Yeah.
Got it. I'll come back to you for follow-up. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Archer.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder, please restrict yourself to one question and one follow-up question. Our next question comes from the line of Rahul Gajare from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. See, with respect to the logistical moves, when in 2021 you all decided to move to Mahindra, for a logistical arrangement, at that point in time we were looking at a saving of what, 1 to 1.5% to accrue. Now with this shifting back in-house, what is your thought on the strategic and the financial benefit that you are looking for? Can you elaborate on that aspect?
So Rahul, to be candid, like I said earlier, we've not derived that benefit, either the financial or strategic. That's the reason to move it back in-house. My view is, there's a certain reason for us to have done this, to actually, for us to defocus from logistics and focus on the market end, but not to let logistics become a weak point for us here. And therefore, our primary objective will always remain that, logistics cost optimization, while that's desirable, that's secondary to ensuring efficient logistics, which we are now focused on, which we're delivering on to satisfy all our channel partners and customers. That we've achieved as part of this transportation, transition, and we are managing that well. That said, we will optimize logistics costs, may not be to the extent that we may have originally envisaged, but we will keep looking for those avenues to do that, but without compromising on our other core objectives.
Okay, and you did indicate that A&P spend has increased by about 14 crore rupees in this particular quarter. Could you quantify how much was the actual A&P spend? Because in the first and second quarter, you did indicate
it was about 51 crores in this quarter, and about 4.4% of our consumer lighting business here.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll come back and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rohit Suresh from Samatva Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. My question is based on the BLDC fans that we have. So just wanted to know the motors, the BLDC motors that are used in the fans, are we importing it from China or is it being procured from a domestic manufacturer?
No, there's no import of the motor from China. It's a combination of from a domestic supplier, as well as we're creating certain in-house capabilities also there for that. So with certain components, we're able to make that in-house. Also. Combination of both. Right now the reliance on a supplier is higher, but we do want to try and enhance our ability to do that in-house also.
Got it. Sir, and a related question is that what will be the share of those BLDC fans to the revenues right now, and how do you see it moving in the next 2 to 3 years considering the star rating that has just been applied to the fans?
Yeah. So right now it's extremely minuscule for us. We have been a late, laggard to the BLDC, offerings. Having said that, we do have a couple of SKUs in that, but you'll see us for the next 1 year have many more SKUs in that. As that range of BLDC expands for us, that's when we'll start seeing a meaningful contribution of BLDC. But I do think that will remain in single digits at max 10% of revenue, may not even touch 10% of revenue for us there. You know, as we move to star rating, I think one star rated fans will yet dominate, you know, the purchasing at the consumer end. Going up to three star, I do think five star fans, which BLDC are, will remain, if not in single digits, will remain in the teens at an overall market level also.
Great, sir. Thank you so much. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Rohit.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Girish from MS. Please go ahead.
My questions have been answered. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Harsh Vora from Praj Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, Raj, good evening. Please go
ahead. Yeah. So just wanted to know, what's our reach, distribution reach expansion in last 9 months, and what has been our market share in each categories in appliances? Have we seen market share increases in any of the appliances categories?
So reach has been fairly flattish, as I've shared in the past, and our reach has always been best in class. Our focus has been to actually expand our WD, not R&D, that is our weighted distribution, and therefore our growth from urban metro counters and, you know, SSSG, which is same store sales growth. So, you know, while we continue to look at reach, our greater focus is not reach, but actually mining that reach much better. That's point one. Point two, in terms of market share, I think, you know, overall, I'll just give a very macro answer on that. Now, appliances, we've been maintaining market share, but within that, you know, we've been growing market share in coolers, and coming to fans in particular is where we're growing market share on an overall basis.
Okay, and what would be the premium categories of fans in our overall fans portfolio?
So our revenue contribution from premium in FY22 was 19%. This was about 6% about 2 years ago. Let us complete this full year so we have a full year basis to compare that with.
Okay. All right, thanks. I'll get back to you in questions if I have any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder, in case if you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. Sorry if I missed the volume growth number for the categories like appliances, particularly fans. What has been the volume growth for fourth quarter?
So, Achal, for appliances, it, you know, it has been flat to negative. For fans, you know, must be about 50%+. Yeah. I've not, to be honest, done a very deep math on that. So the overall growth is about 64%. That includes a certain amount of price increases.
Right. And what would be the industry growth according to, I mean, if this is disproportionately high as compared to industry, I presume, please, you know, if you could throw some light at how the growth would have been for the industry broadly. Like,
so much
are we
lower
disproportionately
than the industry itself,
yeah.
While everybody is de-stocked, but, you know, you've seen the numbers from everybody else. The leaders, you know, has to come out now. I haven't seen that number yet. Today it's due. But I'm sure the industry growth is much, much lesser than this, both volume and value terms.
Is it like we had the disproportionately high share of non-rated as we went into it, or it's just it's more conscious strategy here?
So I think, again, it's a combination of things. We've just planned our inventory and our selling, you know, the way we had planned it. It's also a function of base effect, to be honest, that, you know, our base is lower than others, so it could be a function of that, but also a reflection of us continuing to increase our market share. So if you look at, you know, sometimes the quarter can be skewed, but if you look at a longer arc, and if you look at all of FY22 also, our growth rate on clients have been higher than industrial competition. So, you know, Q3, similarly, you're seeing that, but hopefully on a full year basis also, you will see us deliver higher growth rates on volume and value in clients.
Got it. And just if you could, throw some light in terms of what is the in-house manufacturing mix for fans, home appliance, kitchen appliance, and lighting as we speak, and how do you see it evolving over next few years, time frame?
So on an overall basis, it's about 15% in-house, 85% outsourced. In fans in particular, you will see that change happen next year. We just put in a new paint workshop at our Chakan fan factory to support, our superior premium fans. And that's part of our journey towards, premiumization of our fans portfolio. As that, initial trials of that in production of that is on. But from February, you should see a pickup in our in-house production of fans, particularly premium fans. As that gathers overall pace and capacity, debottlenecking, minor expansion that we're doing, I think next year you will see us also up our overall in-house production, particularly for fans here.
Got it. Thank you. Thanks for answering the question.
Thank you, Archit.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vandit Dharamshi from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to check on the lighting division in terms of how is the competitive landscape playing out. Is there some aggression from other competition, or in general, if you could just talk about the lighting segment.
So it's a bit of mixed trends. Firstly, on the consumer lighting, demand has been soft. We're seeing that across. Our own transition is a separate aspect. But having said that, I think there's a certain amount of consolidation that is happening in consumer lighting, particularly a lot of the long tail players. We are seeing market share move towards the leading players, including ourselves. And also given our journey on, expanding our product portfolio on that and premiumizing, I think there we should be, fairly strongly set and gaining share faster. On the professional lighting space, it has always been less of a long tail, etc., and more consolidated space always. Like I've given or mentioned in the past, we see ourselves close number two, adjacent number one. I think there we have seen some increased, ability offerings or competition from a few of the other leading players too. That said, we remain confident of our approach and strategy there. Therefore, not something that we see any loss of share happening for us.
Okay, sir. And one more question, sir. In terms of what would be our in-house production for lighting, and what would be the rough working capital days for this quarter and maybe going full year for FY23?
I think the in-house for lighting will be slightly higher, closer to about 20%. We continue doing a little rejig on that between our factories, what lighting we're making there, and again between professional and consumer lighting. So you'll see some rejig of that. That 20% may go up slightly more next year for the lighting part in-house. What is the second part of the question?
On terms of working capital for lighting segment, maybe if you could just throw some light for this quarter and say for FY23 ending, what would be the working capital days?
The number of that. Lighting. So lighting total working capital in the range of what? 150 crores.
Okay, so that's it. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rahul Gajare from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. This particular quarter, we've seen an increase in the interest cost, compared to last year, or sequentially, significant increase on a sequential basis. I do understand your explanation that you talked about vendor financing, but this discounting of EASL will be a one-time cost, right? So your steady-state interest ideally should go down given you improve your balance sheet side. Is that a fair expectation on the interest?
Yeah, that's right. So EASL is a one-time impact. Because this was a retention which is due to us after 7 years, which we have discounted now. So that's a 5 crores impact there. So that's a one-time cost. And the balancing, even the EPC advances that we are taking, so it's an interest-bearing advance, that's an operational advances that will keep happening as we take on more projects.
And you know, in the second quarter, you know, we had a very high profitability in the EPC side, and you know, this particular quarter it was significantly low. Any specific thing that we should read into this?
No, I think we have explained this last quarter. As most of our old projects were coming to an end towards the last quarter, and we are actually starting off the new order book. So because of that, when you start off a new project, the margin recognized is actually lower. So as we do our surveys and get into the operations, the margin should improve there.
And I think in the opening comment, I think Anuj did indicate, you know, that you know, the demerger could actually take a quarter or two from here. Earlier, I think that was expected sometime now, right? Is there something you heard adversely on?
So Rahul, I'll answer that. You know, the SEBI approval took a long time. That came through in December. Post that, we managed to get the first NCLT order actually fairly fast, which has happened in Jan. Our initial target was to have this demerger done within this fiscal by March. Right now, next step is a shareholder meeting that will be convened on 2nd of March. That's part of the normal process post the NCLT order. Once it is approved at the shareholder meeting, so it has to go back to the authorities, and there's a certain process after that. We can't exactly pinpoint the time that it takes for them to approve that, but I think it could be anything 2 to 3 months from there. So I think May, June. If we are lucky, it could be earlier, but not later than that.
Sure, I think that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Chirag Lodhia from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just follow up on this finance cost. If suppose what could be the finance cost for, you know, consumer division?
Actually, there is no finance cost. This is the cost of discounting of the bills of the vendors. So about 4% is the cost of discounting.
Okay, so no, what I'm trying to understand is in a demerged balance sheet, in finance cost as an item on a full year basis, it could be in the range of 15-20 crore. Is that a fair understanding?
Yearly, yes, but you're right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of the question session. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing remarks.
Thank you once again, everybody, for joining us. You know, I won't repeat my opening or the comments. You heard us all. We think it is a tough environment in that, you know, we continue to both deliver good performance in Q3 and directionally, strategically also, you see us being in sync with all the, you know, whether it's on products, innovations, on brand, etc. We're moving in the same direction as we've always guided. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.